That's true. That's right. Amen. Well said, sister. I know since 2020 that our life and family and in many ways we've not even talked about has been through a lot of battles and hardships and stormy seasons. But we're still here tonight. I've been magnifying this truth everywhere I go. That it's not because we're so super duper and so super spiritual. We're not made it on our own spirituality. And it ain't religion that has brought us this far, but it's been the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the goodness of God. And amen, if you're a saved child of God, I don't care what you go through, you can look around and you just see the goodness of God on display, and His faithfulness has been at every turn. And we ought to praise Him for that. In these days. All right. That's a wonderful word tonight. Word of testimony. Romans chapter number 12. And if you're willing and able, let's stand together. And we'll give you some thoughts this evening here from the Word of God. We've been studying this for several weeks now. And we've got several weeks yet to go. And I'll give you what I can tonight with the voice that I have. And we'll see how the Lord will help us tonight. Okay. Romans 12, verse number 1 down through verse number 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, this is our thought phrase to center these verses around, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. We'll leave off our reading there. That's as far as we'll go in our study on this subject through this text. And I'm convinced it could go on even deeper in the chapter. I want to continue our thought out of verse number 2, where Paul said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're preaching again tonight a little bit further on proving the will of God. Proving the will of God. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Send us, Lord, the touch of God that we stand in need of. We're asking you, Lord, not in our name or any merit or work we've done, but in Jesus' blessed name and by the will of God, would you, Lord, touch our voice, our mind, our body, and, Lord, our ministry and message that you've laid upon our heart tonight. Would you touch every ear that is listening and every heart, Lord, that it might receive. Touch every eye that it may see and behold wondrous things out of the Word of God tonight. Lord, the message that you have for us, Lord, as believers is so important and pertinent and needful, Lord, in this hour. I pray, Lord, we pay attention and listen tonight and receive and, Lord, make changes to our life as, Lord, we will one day have wish we would have as we stand before God. And so, Lord, have thy will and way tonight, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We've been emphasizing the will of God, understanding that the will of God affects all of God's creation. And God has a will, especially for all of mankind, and the will of God for sinners is simply this. And God is not willing, Peter said, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the will of God. He is willing that all men should be saved and not perish. And so tonight, if you're in the building or you're listening on the radio or you're watching the live stream tonight or days to come, the fact of the matter is, if you're yet in your sin, it is the will of God that you be saved. It's not the will of God you live 1 minute longer in your sin. It's not the will of God that you die in your sin. And it's not the will of God that you would perish in hell forever. Now, if you don't get saved, that's exactly what will happen. but that is not the will of God for the sinner's life. God's will is for all men to be saved. And yet we understand that tonight. It is also needful to understand that God's will especially involves the life of God's children. When we come to this text, Paul is dealing with brethren. Very clearly and plainly, he calls this out in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And so those that are of the family of God, those that have been born again, those that have been adopted into the family of God, he is going to be writing to them, according to verse 2, very specifically about the will of God concerning our life. And so this evening, we understand the will of God is as important to the child of God as it is to the sinner this evening. And when we think about the will of God, here's what we have defined and here's what we've said, that the will of God means or deals with the determination of God for our life. It deals with the choice of God for our life. It deals with the purpose of God for our life. It is God's decree and the inclination of God our Father in our life. And so when we think about the will of God, when we think about the will of God in our life as His children, we are dealing with God making the decisions for our life. And you say, well, what decisions? That is, amen, the point tonight, that the will of God concerns every area of our life, allowing God to choose for you and for me. We said on last week, I believe it was, we made the statement and testified of my own life that I've never, never, never regretted letting God make the choices for my life. And I'm thankful tonight. He's a God that can be trusted. He's a God that has proven faithful, as has been sung and testified of tonight. And so we can trust Him tonight to make the choice for our life. We can trust His determination for our life. You can trust tonight the divine purpose of God for your life and live it out in confidence and live it out in joy and live it out for the glory of God. Do you let God make your choices? Did God choose where you was going to work? Is God going to choose and has chosen who you're going to marry? Has God chose, my friend, how you're going to live your life? Have you let God make the decisions about every matter concerning your life and world? The fact of the matter is we're not our own tonight. We've been bought with a price. The God who saved us has the lordship over our life. He has the right to call the shots, if you will, this evening. I'm glad tonight I'm not my own anymore. I'm glad tonight that I don't belong to the devil anymore. I am a brother in the family of God. I am one of God's children. And so it is needful, and may I say even beyond needful, there is a desire in my heart, in my life tonight, that I would live my life in the will of God. I've made a mess of things so many times in my life, going my own way, doing my own will, but I have never found that doing the will of God has ever led to a mess in my life. Now, it comes with hardships, it comes with strain and stress, and it comes with, amen, storms, and we could use all the cliches and descriptive terms, amen, that remind us doing the will of God is not always easy, but it is always worth doing. And so we said out of the text tonight, the last few weeks as we read it again tonight, that here Paul is going to declare some things about the will of God. He declares here that it is something that is good. If you're taking notes, that is, the will of God is profitable. It is what is good for your life. Yea, it is what is best for our lives. God's will is best for our life. There is no bad in the will of God. There is no evil in the will of God. A will of God is profitable in that it is good. And then Paul said it's not only good, he said the will of God is acceptable. Simply meaning that it is well-pleasing or it is pleasurable. And so tonight, the will of God is not only profitable, but it is pleasurable. And I say tonight, there is pleasure in doing the will of God. There is joy and there is peace and there is rest. And in the will of God, you can be fighting hell and the gates of hell, my friend, just acres and acres at a time. And you can be dealing with all sorts of hardships and storms in your life. And yet when you pillow your head at night, if you're in the will of God, there is a sense of well-pleasing and a sense of joy that comes from being in the will of God. Amen. It's pleasurable and well-pleasing to those who do it. And more importantly, it's well-pleasing to God. He said the will of God is not only good and acceptable, it is profitable and pleasurable, but it is perfect. He said, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you remember the statement, this is how the Lord has put it into our heart. That inside of the will of God, there is no failure. The will of God is perfect. There is no failure inside the will of God. And yet the opposite is true. Outside of the will of God, there is no real true success. You may present success. You may try to have facade success. But outside of the will of God, as a child of God, you will not find success for your life. And so tonight, the will of God is perfect. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. We're not perfect, but the will of God is perfect. And what a blessing that is tonight. And then here's where we're really focusing. Paul says of the will of God, not only is it profitable and pleasurable and perfect, but it is to be proven. Here is our responsibility concerning the will of God again tonight. It is that you may prove what is that will of God. And the word prove that he uses here means to discern or to distinguish and approve of. Carrying the notion regarding something as being worth it or worthy or worthwhile. And so Paul is saying tonight, that as a child of God, your responsibility to your relationship to the will of God is that you would be spiritually minded enough that you could discern it and distinguish it and do it. Amen. Discern it, distinguish it, and do it. And so we think about the will of God tonight. It reminds us as well that we have an enemy that has a purpose for our life as well. He has plans for our life. He has thoughts for our life. And may we word it this way, Satan has a will for your life. There's a path he would lead you down. There are choices he would make for you or have you make for yourself that would but lead to your destruction. But tonight, the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. And it's worthwhile tonight. It's a worthy endeavor to seek the will of God. It's a worthwhile effort and labor tonight to sell out to and do the will of God in our life. This evening, can you distinguish the will of God from the will of everything else? Do you know how to differentiate the will of God from your own will? Do you know how to deny yourself and do what God bids you to do? This is what proving the will of God is all about. And yet in this hour and this day, I'm convinced that we know as little about doing and distinguishing and following the will of God as far as God's children goes as any generation of Christianity as has ever been. Our lives are in a mess. Our families are in a mess. Churches are in a mess. Society is in a mess. And I think tonight when we get outside of the will of God, that's exactly what we get is a mess. Amen. You'll never convince me all the things going on in people's lives tonight are a result of distinguishing and discerning and doing the will of God. Everything's upside down. Everything's inside out. Everything seems to be chaos. And I'm not talking about just hardships and bad times. Amen. I'm talking about things being out of order in our culture and our society. It is an indictment against the children of God not proving the will of God for their life. You see, the will of God is not just for the pastor. The will of God is not just about whether or not you're going to be a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary. The will of God concerns every child of God tonight. God is interested in your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a determination for your life. And your responsibility as a child of God is not to be distant from God's will, but to be close to God's will and to prove God's will in your life. And so we've been preaching on proving the will of God. And as Paul lays this as a challenge in the text, we believe that Paul in these verses is actually teaching us how to prove the will of God in our life. And so we began message number one after the introduction is simply this. We prove the will of God through the exhortation of our pastor. The exhortation of our pastor, Paul begins all of this with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I the man of God, I the spiritual authority God has put in your life, I the one that God has here for your spiritual edification, am beseeching you, the child of God, the member of the church, that you would prove the will of God. And so we find here tonight our relationship to God's man is very vital if we're going to prove the will of God for our life. Not that the pastor can dictate to you the will of God. That's not our interest tonight. I know that there's been some pulpits that have tried to do that. And you know what that makes? That makes chaos and a mess out of things. No man, including the most spiritual man of God, is spiritual enough to be able to determine the will of God for two people. Amen. We believe in the priesthood of every believer, and yet there is something about the ministry of a man of God that helps us discern the will of God for our life. We ought to care about what the preacher thinks. We ought to come to the man of God and ask him to pray and allow him access to call into our life spiritual truths that will assist us in discerning the voice of God and the will of God from every other voice that is out there bidding us to do something contrary to the will of God. And so as the man of God is invested in our life, as the man of God has allowed, amen, listen to how I say it now, as the man of God is allowed by individuals to have a personal touch in your life, if you'll allow the man of God to have a personal touch in your life, you will be benefited in proving the will of God for your life. Amen. The man of God praying for us, the man of God urging us on, a man of God holding us accountable to truths that and doctrines that are contained in the Word of God. The man of God having the oversight of our life. And when he sees things, being able to call that out and being able to address those things. I'm not talking about running your home and running your life. I've been accused by that, amen, about that, and nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, amen, I've reached a place in my own ministry. If you want to do things your own way, that's your choice to do. Amen, that's your choice to do. I'm not going to fret and worry and pull my hair out and undone too much of that. Somebody say, man. Amen. It is a privilege. And if you could ever understand the privilege of having the exhortation of a pastor speaking into your life, amen, it would go a long way in you being able to prove the will of God for your life. Amen. The exhortation of our pastor, the motivation of our will, we dealt with on last week. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I don't have a voice to scream this out tonight. I've got to get to where I want to be. But I want to say tonight, if we're going to do the will of God and prove the will of God for our life, we're going to have to be motivated in our own will to be in tune to the will of God. And there is no greater motivating factor. In fact, I'll say tonight, there is no other factor, amen, that can motivate you outside of the mercies mercies of God in your life. When you realize that it was the mercy of God that saved you, it's the mercy of God that has kept you, it's the mercy of God and that has ministered the goodness of God in your life. It's mercy by which your prayers have been answered. And you think about all the ways that God has poured his mercy out on your life. How in the world could you deny God's lordship in your life, amen, and deny and turn away from the will of God for your life? Listen, the will of God is not done and not proven and not distinguished or desired through coercion, force, guilt trip, or dread. We cannot fear monger you into doing the will of God. Amen. Now preachers have tried that. I've tried that in days gone by. But you know what I've learned? It'll be short-lived. They'll do, amen, they'll do quote-unquote the right things when the preachers are out. They'll do the right things, quote-unquote, when the parents are around. They'll do the right things on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But my friend, listen, the will of God, amen, can truly be proven and lived out when you're motivated by the mercies of God. Amen. Does that inspire you tonight to say, God, what is your will for me? After as good as you've been and merciful as you've been, Lord, I desire to know and do the will of God. And so there is the motivation of our will. Number three tonight, this brings us up to where we want to be. And if you give me about 20 minutes, I'll be done. But I want to deal with tonight, if we're going to be proving the will of God, it involves the presentation of our bodies. The presentation of our bodies. Now buckle your seatbelt. I've made enemies in near 25 years of pastor and preaching on the subject I'm about to preach to you tonight. I want to tell you tonight that if you're going to do the will of God, there's going to have to be a presentation of your body. A presentation of your body. Now this is what Paul said. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That you present your bodies. It is an impossibility to prove the will of God in your life without presenting to God your body. Now let's get this right tonight. The day you got saved was the day that a transaction happened in your life. Now here's how Paul would word it and say it on several occasions different ways, but the truth is this tonight. Know ye not that ye are not your own? You've been bought with a price. And that your body is the temple of God. And that God dwells in you. Paul would say the church at Corinth. He would tell them that God, what God had said in the Old Testament about the dispensation of time that we're in men's relationship with God. That through salvation and a sanctified life, God has promised not only to be with us, but to be in us. And he is housed in the inside of my body tonight. And this evening, that is so important that we believe in the indwelling presence of Almighty God within us, making this tonight, as frail as it looks and as weak as it is and as fleshly as it is tonight, yet God has chosen to live on the inside of me and is on the inside of my body. And so this evening, understand, hey man, you're not your own anymore. What does that mean? It means you belong to God. That means your body belongs to God. You don't have the right. That's what Paul's argument is. If you want to call it an argument, that's what his, amen, teaching is, that in salvation, you no longer belong to you. You no longer belong to you. Amen. Let me say it again tonight. You no longer belong to you. Your hands, my friend, God is in you to do his will with your hands. Your feet are my friend, in your on your body or a part of your members. And yet God dwells in you for your feet to walk in the will of God. And so on and so forth, we'll see tonight. And so does that make sense tonight? Amen. God saved us. Amen. He saved our soul. He saved our spirit. Amen. One of these days, he's going to save or deliver our mortal bodies, amen, to immortality. And what a day that's going to be. But from salvation till that day happens, God dwells on the inside of you and I. Now, what we're to do is to take this vessel and present it back to God. And present it back to God. We are to yield it to the Lord. We are to present it in the word of the King James Bible, as Paul gives it. He said, present your bodies. Consider the word present for just a moment. And I want to emphasize just a thing or two here. This word present means to cause to stand near or before. And so Paul is saying, as a child of God, if you're going to prove the will of God, here's what you've got to learn to do. Here's your responsibility in proving the will of God. That is to present your body, to bring it near to God and bring it before God. This language that is going to be used in this portion of verse number 1 deals with he calls it a living sacrifice. And so we are immediately brought back to thoughts of the Old Testament as they would bring the bodies of those lambs and oxen and sacrifices. They would bring those bodies before God and present them near God and before God. Are you near God tonight? Have you presented your body to be near God? Have you brought your hands and brought them before God? Have you allowed your feet to be brought before God? This is the idea of presenting our bodies to God. Now listen, this word present, it means to place at hand or to place in the hand. Have you ever put your body in the hand of God? And we've got folk, they want to argue with me and they want to get mad at me when I go dealing with their mortal body. Now, your mortal body, I've already proved it to you from the Word of God. It's the temple of God. And they say, well, it's my body. I get to do what I want to do. And I'm going to clothe it how I want to clothe it, feed it how I want to feed it, and do with it what I want to do with it. Amen. Here's the problem. Here's the problem tonight. In the word present, it means I am to take my hands off my body and off my life, and I am to place my life and my body in the hand of God. Amen. Have you presented your body tonight? Amen. Have you presented your body in this word present? I love this. I wish I had a voice to really preach tonight. Amen. But this word present, it implies either one, in this case, friendly terms or hostile intent. As we think about this tonight, what Paul is saying by way of presenting our bodies, he is saying you need to be on friendly terms with God. That you're not fighting against God, you're not warring against God with your body, but that you're on friendly terms with God in what you're doing with your body. Are you listening? Hey man, I'm telling you, it's one or the other. It's either on friendly terms or on hostile terms. Here's what you need to understand. When you study this word present, you will find that there is no neutral position. You cannot be neutral. There is nobody in the building tonight that is neutral about presenting your body. You're either doing it or you're not. If you're doing it, you're on friendly terms, or, amen, you are presenting your body one way or the other, be it in friendly terms or hostile terms. Amen. Here's how maybe we would illustrate it tonight. Amen. To present your body, no neutral position. You're either coming before God like this or like this. There's a generation that is like this with God, and they are hostile to any challenge about how they're living their life. Amen. And there's a few things, man, you can deal with. It ticks people off, makes their blood pressure go up, and they got to go see their doctor and get a pill to lower it down. Amen. But there's a better way to lower it, and that is quit doing this and do this and say, God, all of me belongs to all of you. And if I'm going to do the will of God, I must present my body to you on friendly terms. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. Amen. Now, what does this have to do with doing the will of God? Preacher, the will of God is something that is spiritual, and I would agree with you about that tonight. The will of God is something that is, the will of God is something that is done, watch me now, is something that is done from the spirit or from the heart. But you cannot do the will of God with the heart or with the spirit. It has to be done with the body. Amen. You do it from the heart, but you do it with your body. Amen. You do it with your hands. You do it with your feet. You do it with your eyes. You do it with your mouth to speak. You do it with your ears. You do it with the entirety of everything that you are. Amen. There must be a presentation of the body, because it's through the body that we do the will of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to prove that to you tonight. Hold your place in Romans 12 and go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, we'll get an insight from the great example himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter number 10, notice with me in verse number 5. Wherefore, when he, that is Jesus, when Jesus cometh into the world, he saith, here's what Jesus said when God sent him into the world, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. But a what? But a body. But a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so we learn here tonight that the Lord Jesus, listen, the reason Jesus had to come in bodily form is that was the only way Jesus could do the will of God. He did not come to do the will of God in spirit. He came to do the will of God with a body. And Jesus said, it is for this purpose you prepared me a body. It is for this reason you gave me a body. It is for this reason I became a man. A man is so that I could do the will of God. Amen. And if Jesus had to have a body to do the will of God, I got news for all of us tonight. We are to take our body that God has given us and do the will of God. And Jesus did that. He didn't just do it at Calvary. Here's what Jesus said in his earthly life. I do always those things that please the Father. Amen. He said, I know the will of my Father and my Father's will that I do. And he prayed in John 17 in his high priestly prayer that the Lord throughout the course of his life, from the day of his birth, all the way, my friend, to the hour, the night before he's getting ready to die, and even in his death on the day after, that he had done the will of God and accomplished everything the Father had for him to do. He didn't do that in spirit. He did that in a body. Am I making any sense tonight? I'm telling you, your body is important to God. Amen. And so the presentation of our body, amen, here's what we are called upon by the Apostle Paul to do. And we are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, amen, there is a segment of religion, there are segments of religion that emphasize one or the other of those. There's one crowd, they're only interested in having a right spirit, and then there's another crowd over here, Isaac, all they're interested in is the body, But what I'm trying to do tonight is bring a good balance of it, because it's the balance of the Word of God that God is interested in us glorifying God in body and spirit. You can have the sweetest spirit in the room and still not be in the will of God. Amen. And that seems to be plaguing our day more so than the other side. Amen. Because people hide behind smiles, and they hide behind good personalities, and they hide behind sweet dispositions, but they have never presented their body fully and totally to God's control. Amen. Ain't we having a time? I told y'all I make people mad I go preaching this. I ain't even preaching it tonight. I'm just, I don't know what you call this. Amen. Trying to make it to 7 o'clock is what I call this. Amen. Are y'all listening tonight? The presentation of our body. Have you ever give your body to God? Amen. Let me give you a few things I wrote down about this, that to present our bodies to do the will of God is several things I think we can draw out of Romans chapter number 12. Let me word it this way tonight. Presenting our bodies to do the will of God is something that is observable. Say, what do you mean? Notice what he said, that you present your bodies. Now, this really is a phrase that has some contrast in it, Brother Mike. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You talk about it. We would call that in our studies in English growing up, we would call that an oxymoron. That means that something is being said in one phrase. It seems to be competing or to be in contrast or in conflict with one another. And you talk about a contrast, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice, by its very nature, it speaks of death. It speaks of being offered. It speaks of bloodshed. It speaks of something being slain. And then Paul said, amen, while that is going on, you're also to be living. Amen. Here's what I mean tonight by that. It is observable. It is a living sacrifice. Amen. To present your bodies to prove the will of God is something that is lived out on a daily basis. Amen. The presentation of our bodies involves both life and death. Amen. Both life and death. We must be dying to sin, dying to self, dying to society, and yet at the same time be living unto God. Amen. Amen. And that is what I mean tonight. When I say it is observable, that is something that can be observed in your life. That is something, by the way, that God is going to observe about us. A lot of people, the liberals of our day, they like to run back there to 1 Samuel, where David was anointed with oil, when Samuel came down there to anoint one of Samuel's sons with oil, and them older sons came by, and Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is for me. And God said, no, I've rejected that. And another one would come, and Samuel said, well, surely this is it. He's strapping, he's strong, he's handsome. This surely is the Lord's anointed. And God would say, no, I've rejected that. And Samuel was getting caught up looking on the outside. And so the Lord finally said to Samuel, he said, look, man, look, Samuel, I do not see as men see. Amen. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And there's a crowd, they run around and say, well, see there, God is not interested in the outside. He's not interested in the outward appearance. He's only interested in the heart. That is not what that verse said. That verse is saying that man can only see the outward. It doesn't say God doesn't see the outward. It doesn't say God is not interested in the outward. It just says that God looks deeper than men do. And so tonight, understand this, that the Lord is observing you and I in this presentation of our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's something God is going to take note of. Amen. Amen. I'm starting to feel like preaching now. Amen. Y'all better say, man, I may preach a little extra. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, life and death are both involved in this. To present your body is to die so you can live. You want to know why people want to fuss and fight about modest apparel? Amen. You want to know why people get up in arms about when you start preaching things like men ain't supposed to put on what pertaineth to women and women ain't to put on that that pertains to men? You know why they'll get spitting mad? And amen, I've had them cuss me out. I've had them storm out. I've had them not shake my hand. You know why? Because they've not died so they can live. You can say what you want. You can talk about the day and the generation and it's old fashioned and amen, you can throw up every other argument and we're paying the price for some of this silly stuff's gone around for decades now. Now it's so far out of hand, amen, the church ain't even got any authority to stand against whatever you call that the Olympics tried to do the other day. Amen. We can't even stand against it anymore because the church gave up that ground a long time ago. Somebody say amen. Somewhere along the way, we quit presenting our bodies, amen, a living sacrifice to be observed, amen, that we belong to God and we belonged and our lives are going to be observed, living out, dying to self, but living out, amen, what God has called us to live out in His Word. Amen. Amen. I didn't figure I'd get too many amens. That's all right. I still believe it. Amen. I don't preach a lot on it. Probably need to start. Amen. Start trying to beat it back. I don't know, amen, that we ain't give up so much ground we'll never get it back. You can say what you want, man. Amen. It's hard to cry out what we're seeing in our day. Hard for you women. Let's just get it on out. I'll get cuss letters, amen, this week. Amen. Hard you women stand against what the men are doing up and down all this perversion. Amen. Might as well say amen. And I didn't come to be mean and I just felt a bulldog crawl up in me again. Amen. I'm telling you, you're going to have to learn as a child of God, there's a reason this stuff's in the Bible. There's a reason, amen, that God's men have been saying since the beginning of time that, amen, there are certain ways God wants us to be and wants us to live. And it's going to require, listen, I ain't trying to force you into anything tonight, but what I am trying to get you to understand, amen, there's a way God wants us to live our life, and it involves presenting our body, and we would die to self so we could live to God. Amen. Amen, that's right. So I just don't see it that way. That's your problem. You need to change the way you see it. Amen. Observable, a living sacrifice. Amen, ain't we having a time? I love y'all. Y'all love me, so we ain't going to get mad at each other. Ain't no fighting going on in the parking lot. Amen. Amen. Presenting our bodies to do the will of God is something that's observable. If people observe your life, can they see that you have died to self to live to God? Amen. Not only is it observable, it's honorable. Amen. We've made it to 7 o'clock, so let's finish this out. Amen, it's observable, but it's honorable. Notice what he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Boy, there's a word nobody likes to hear preached on anymore. I still believe holiness in the life of God's child still in the Bible. Amen, I think it's honorable to live a holy life. Amen, sanctified and consecrated to the Lord literally is the meaning of living a holy life. Amen. Holiness. You ought to have a holy heart, holy mind, holy thoughts. Amen. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But may I say tonight, amen, don't stop, amen, short of living a holy life with your body. That is honorable. That is something honorable before God. Amen. To be sanctified. And so the word of God, amen, says this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. Paul said the church at Thessalonica, amen, that every man abstain from fornication. He starts calling out sins that men do with the body. And he said, you need to stop that and you need to cut that out of your life. If you're really saved, it's the will of God that you possess your body in sanctification. Amen. We're living in a generation where people attend church and live in adultery and fornication. Amen. Take their body down the bar room and drink a beer. And my friend, use their body, use their lips to use cuss words. And amen, to sing the devil's music. And I'm telling you, there ain't nothing holy about any of that. Amen. It's the will of God. And if we're going to prove the will of God, I must place my body in the hands of God. And in doing so, Paul said, it's honorable in that it leads you to live a holy life. Amen. It's observable. It's honorable. Amen. Y'all ain't mad, are you? Amen. It's acceptable. Amen. To present our bodies to do the will of God is something acceptable. Here's what he said. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Amen. Amen. Acceptable unto God. This will not get us much acceptance from the world. And by the way, if you do the will of God in this world with your body, amen, the only way you can do the will of God, amen, you will not find any acceptance from the world. Amen. This world cries out doctrines of acceptance and tolerance. And all they have acceptance and tolerance for is the unholy. Amen. All they have tolerance for is perversion. All they have acceptance for is, amen, that does not truly glorify God. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, if we will have, amen, if we will present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God. Amen. Here's what Paul said. In doing that, we have the acceptance that comes from God. I'd rather have the acceptance of God than this world any day of the week. A world didn't save me. The world ain't ever done me any good. A world ain't ever, my friend, been there for me when I've been down. Amen. But the God of glory, he's been there. And I want to live my life. I want to present my body to him. And I've tried since I've been saved to do that. I ain't got a perfect record in it. I don't have, my friend, a blemish, a testimony in that regard. Amen. But it is a desire in my heart, amen, to have the acceptance of God, because he's the one that has been faithful in my life. Amen. I desire his acceptance. The presentation of our bodies to do God's will is not so much, listen, oh, please get a hold of this tonight. It's not so much for God's acceptance as it is living it out from God's acceptance. Amen. You want to be acceptable unto God? Live in the acceptance you have since the day you got saved. God receives you as his son, as his daughter, not in anything good that you had to do, but on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith in him and your repentance and turning from sin. The Lord, my friend, accepted you into the beloved and into his family. And we're not working toward acceptance and for acceptance, we're working from that acceptance. Amen. And so when I work from that, guess what happens? My life becomes acceptable to God all over again. What I could not live out as a lost man, and what I could not receive and know as a sinner yet in my sin, or even as a saved man doing my own thing, I began to work from that acceptance I have in being saved and God dwelling in me, and God having received me and me receiving God. And from that acceptance, I give him back my body, and then I find that I become acceptable unto God. Amen. Amen. That maybe don't mean a whole lot to some of us tonight. Amen. But I believe tonight, to the spiritual man, it means the world. Amen. Do you want to be acceptable to God? Amen. You better get in the book and find out what he says. I'm blown away how many people want to argue about rules and standards and regulations for holiness. Amen. All them things, we got to have them things because we're all so carnal and wicked in heart. Amen. If we didn't have standards, amen, we'd be in a mess tonight. Some of y'all showed up church half naked. Amen. So, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Amen. Look, go to any church within our city limits and you'll find places don't have standards. That's what they're doing. Come in half naked. Amen. Men and women, ain't that a shame? Standards, we got to have standards because of the carnal man. Amen. But spiritual minded people, you know what governs them? Not a list of rules. A desire to be accepted of God. A desire to live out the acceptance we already have. Amen. Romans 6:13 said, neither yield ye your members, that is the members of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. I believe, still believe tonight. You won't convince me otherwise. Amen. You'll never live. You'll never raise the standard of righteousness too high. Amen. That God would say, that right there, that's enough. Don't go no further. I understand there's a Phariseeism. I understand you can in your spirit go too far. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't so much have a problem with all the things the Pharisees were doing so much as he did their attitude and their spirit about it. Amen. Amen. When you're doing it because you're working from the acceptance of being saved, the acceptance of the grace of God that has brought you in, what actually happens is your life being conformed to the image of Christ becomes practically acceptable to God. And that's a good place for you to get in your life. Amen. You know why so many people aren't interested? Here's the mentality some have. I'll let you wrestle with it tonight, why it's this way. But there are a lot of people that think, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. That's really all that matters. And I'm telling you tonight, with a burdened and broken heart, trying to pastor a generation that lives out that mentality, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And I want to say tonight, you need to quit speaking for God because he's already told you in the Bible it matters. What you need to say is, it doesn't matter to me. Because it matters a great deal to the God that saved you what we do with this right here. Amen. Acceptable unto God. Acceptable unto God. Yield your members. Let me ask you a question tonight. I'm winding down. Amen. You say, preacher, we've already winded down. I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to end. Have you ever had a time in your life where you got down before God and said, Lord, here's my hands. Lord, I don't want to do anything with these hands that would not be acceptable to you. So, Lord, have you ever made a vow with God about your hands? You know what Job said in all that he went through and all that discussion between he and his friends? Here's something, we get some insight on Job that's pertinent to our study. Here's what he said. He said, I made a covenant. With God about my eyes, that I would not look upon a maiden. And what he's talking about is having a lustful look. Amen. Looking with them hungry eyes. Amen. Look, what he's saying is, I made a vow with God about the members of my body, the member of my body, my eyes, viewing and what I would see and what I would watch and what I would take into my view. I made a covenant with my God that I would not let my eyes do certain things. Amen. Have you ever got down before God and said, God, here I am. I'm making a vow to you. I'm presenting my eyes to you. I'm presenting my hands. Have you ever made a vow and a covenant with God? Amen. With your tongue? The tongue's a vicious, vicious member of our body. Amen. I'm done preaching. Did I ever tell y'all about my first church? Amen. I worked them up one night. I stole it from some other preacher. Not the message, but the thought for the message. I told them on Sunday morning, I said, y'all be back tonight. I'm preaching on the worst member of our church. And I'm calling names tonight. We got a member in this church that is destroying this church, and I'm calling names out. They's all like, you know what? They all showed up. So what'd you preach on? I preach over out of James about that member that's set on the fire of hell. The tongue can't be bridled. Amen. Has sweet waters, trying to bring out sweet waters and bitter at the same time. Preached on, amen. I preached, Brother Gerald, on the worst member of our church. Amen. That one got me, amen, some enemies too. Amen. Amen. But you know why? You know why people struggle with gossip, backbiting, and slander in the work of God? You know, you want to learn, do you really want to learn how to overcome that? Amen. You got to come to God and present your tongue to God and say, God, here it is. And I'm coming to you, bringing it to you, and asking you to help me use my tongue as a means of something that could bring you honor and be acceptable to you. Amen. Y'all quiet tonight. That's all right. Amen. You have to go home and think about it. If you presented your body to God to say, Lord, I want it to be acceptable to you. You start making vows and covenants to God, things you'll do and won't do, places you'll go and won't go. I'm telling you, it'll make some changes in your life. Amen. Then let me say tonight, presenting our bodies to do the will of God, it's not only observable and honorable, and it's something that is acceptable, but he uses the word that it's reasonable. It's your reasonable service. The idea there, Brother Maurice, is just simply this. It's the least you can do. See, people act like this is such hard preaching. Amen. Now, y'all are too sweet and won't nobody, I don't think tonight, nobody stand back there at the door and chew me up one side and down the other. If you want to try it, go ahead, but I don't think anybody will do that tonight. But there is a mindset in our culture of our day of church that the preacher, he's just asking too much. Amen. That's just too much to ask. Well, Paul said, it ain't too much to ask. All that is your reasonable service. That is the least you could do, is to take your body that God in salvation inhabited for his own house, his own temple, and to give it back to him and say, okay, if you're going to live in it, you get to control it. You get to call the shots. You get to fulfill your will through this vessel, through this vehicle, through this body. May the will of God be done. Amen. Have you ever done that? Amen. That's the least you can do tonight as a child of God.